Talk is Jericho. It's the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll, and it's a Friday. So you know what that means. It's time for the world-renowned, much-requested Duff McKagan joke of the week. And this one's a doozy.
Hi, Chris Jericho. It's Duff McKagan calling you. Hope you're well. I'm calling you from Bordeaux, France. Known, of course, famously for its wine. I think I was known, of course, famously for how much wine I drank at one point in my life. But anyhow, this woman came up to me the other day and said, I think I met you at the vegetarian club. I said, I've never seen her before. Thank you.
Wow. Did you get that one? I had to listen to that 5 times and Google it to get it. The guy walks into the vegetarian convention. Girl comes up to him and says, I know you. And he said, I'd never seen her before. A herbivore is a vegetarian. So there you go. The clever mind of Mr. Duff McKagan. Thanks to Duff for never letting us down, or always letting us down, depending what side of the coin he is. Always sends in a joke. Some of them are terrible, but it always starts our weekend with a laugh. And thanks to Duff McKagan all across the Europe playing stadium shows and still having time to call in a stupid joke for our dumb show. Thanks to Duff. He's a great friend of the show. Share that joke with your friends and share this podcast with your friends, because season 2 of Glow on Netflix begins today, Friday, June 29th. I've got 2 of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling coming up on the show returning. We had a couple of gorgeous ladies of wrestling earlier in the year with Chavo Guerrero, who is the one of the producers and the stunt coordinator of the show. Today, we got 2 new gorgeous ladies of wrestling, 2 new glowers. Jackie Tone is here. She plays Melrose. And the newcomer to season 2, Shakira Barrera, who plays Yo-Yo, is also here to talk all about Glow 2nd season. They got some great stories about learning to suplex and going through their version of wrestling school on set with my bro Chavo. Like I said, ladies also talked about the killer 80s hair and fashion that their characters wear, why they hope some of it makes a comeback someday. And Jackie was on the 8th season of American Idol and walks us through the audition process and all that you have to do before you even meet the judges. And not to be outdone, Shakira was a backup dancer for J-Lo and talks about touring with Jennifer and what she's really like behind the scenes. So much information, entertainment talk. Glow season 2 has returned. It's on Netflix today. And Jackie and Shakira start right here on Talk is Jericho. We're actually going to bullshit now is what we're going to do.
We're going to bullshit now.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very excited. So this is we're getting ready for the 2nd season of Glow. And this is the 2nd appearance of Glow actors on my show.
Wowee. Yes. I got to ask you a question.
What?
Are you sitting 1 chair away from me because you're afraid you're going to get too many hugs?
No, what's going to happen is if I sit too close to you, my neck goes like this, and then I like to look you guys in the eyes, right? I got you. I'm a seasoned professional here, right? If I sit that way, then I'll be swiveling back and forth. We're here in Shakira, so Shakira and Jackie are here, and thank you for having us over in your house.
Of course. Did you like the drive?
I did like the drive.
Oh, that makes one of us.
I wasn't really paying attention, to be honest with you.
I was hyper aware because I was
driving.
But I was 10 minutes late.
Okay.
And so I was like, I got it.
Shakira didn't even know you were coming.
Yeah.
I dropped that news on her.
I like to surprise my Barrera baby cat when I can.
See, but here's the difference in LA. When you drive, you're paying attention. I had a car take me here. I have no idea where I am. If you kicked me out on the street right now and said, go, I would not know anywhere where I am. So we are in Reseda.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Which is the famous Tom Petty song lyric.
Yes. Also, some famous movie was made here, but I don't even know.
There are probably a few of them.
Yeah.
There's probably 7 famous movies.
I might be lying, but maybe The Karate Kid?
Could be. Daniel San's house, I think, was in Reseda.
Guys, I've never seen 2 people make so much shit up in my whole. You're both looking at each other, just
we're
like.
Along great.
But it's not even. Yeah, you're just like. No, but improvising. No, improvising is different. This was just lies. I feel.
But I have to say one more thing, and then we'll move into it. But I asked you. I said, "We're in your house." I said, "Can I use your bathroom?" What if you would have said no? Would anybody ever say no?
Could you imagine?
It's a terrible question to ask. Can I use your bathroom? No.
I would torture you in that way.
But it's just like, you should just like, what's the protocol? Do you just go? Or do you ask?
I know.
What do you say?
I know I have a fix.
What?
Where's the bathroom? That way you're not asking. Yeah. Also, if someone's opening their house to you and they don't let you use the bathroom, they are an enormous piece of shit.
Yeah, right. I agree.
I knew you would, but I just don't know how you
feel. I felt bad because I wasn't sure you had enough toilet paper in there.
The toilet paper was fine. I couldn't find the light, though.
Oh, shit.
So I just...
Sorry.
I kind of just stayed with...
It's hard to find. Sorry.
I was hoping that... your mom's here, your grandma's here. Yeah, I was just really hoping for the aim, too.
Oh, my
God. So this really has ingratiated ourselves to each other right off the bat.
Friendship.
I'll walk you there. We can hold hands and I'll show you.
Please, thank you so much. I did wash my hands, too, just so you know. Very excited about GLOW Season 2. You are new, Shakira. Jackie, you are on from Season 1, the veteran. I didn't say that. So the first season, I had the Beatdown Biddies on. They're on with Chavo, who's an old friend of mine for like 25 years.
There's three people that I'm in love
with.
Everyone loves Chavo, right?
Yeah.
Kimmy and
so let's discuss. So first of all, season one and season two. Now, the wrestling training part of it, and we'll get into everything else. Now, I know Chavo was your trainer for both you guys, but now that you came in new for season two, Shakira, were you kind of like the seasoned vet, Jackie? Did you kind of help her out and tell her what to do, or do you still try and figure out what the hell you're doing?
A couple things about that. Something happened to me between season one and season two, where in season one, I only really learned what I had to for the show.
Right.
And then for season two, I wanted to learn anything anyone was learning. Because season one, I was so in my own way, in my own head, told myself I wasn't athletic, I'm a comic and a singer, and I was just like, sports aren't for everybody, guys. And it turns out that they are for me, and I'm far more athletic than I ever gave myself credit for. And I had to like literally undo a 30-something year old story I told myself.
Right.
So when I came back for season two, I was like ready to pounce. I wouldn't say I was that much of an asset to Shakira, because you know, one of those people, oh, it's so annoying. I mean, I don't mean annoying. I mean, I'm so happy for you, but you know what I mean? Where it's like, just instantly as good as the rest of us who had done an entire season of GLOW already and had 4 weeks of wrestling training season one. I mean, fully can do what the rest of us can do and probably more than some of the ladies.
Now, but the thing is, though, so you're coming in on season two.
Yeah.
So you know kind of what's expected and you know, like, the wrestling is real. Whereas season one, I'm not sure you guys really knew what you were getting yourself into.
That's fair, because you'd seen the show.
They
so
set
you were
the
like,
tone.
Oh, right. we're gonna wrestle.
Yeah.
So you
I mean, I knew how athletic they were. I mean, I know she says she's told herself this story, but I feel like all the women has shocked themselves in how much they were capable of. And I mean, the show is so groundbreaking, and watching season, I mean, I had such a reference. I had the, you know, the
full
cheat
10,
sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before my audition. So I binged the show, and I mean, I just saw how athletic they were. I've been dancing since I was three. So to me, that's exciting. Any movement that I can do aside from the acting is just like, I'm in. But what was awesome is she thinks she didn't help me, but she did, because they are so vulnerable and truthful and open in that space. And what I mean by space, I mean wrestling ring. and them being so, I mean, they allowed me to see everything about them, their insecurities. I mean, it was like therapy. We cried about, you know, what we had gone through. I'm not going to release anyone's personal stuff, but I mean, just for them to allow me to be in that space and like listen to them. I mean, it was so helpful for me to know that they were reachable. And I felt so comfortable to make mistakes and to train with them. So that's how you helped.
It's interesting though, because it's funny how, okay, so coming from a wrestling background and you guys are acting, playing wrestlers, it's the same thing when I used to talk to Mickey Rourke about the same thing when he did The Wrestler. You're learning it the same way that we learn it, and you have the same camaraderie. And you learned it on set, but we have that camaraderie from touring around the world together. But you really do become this family that you trust and believe in each other, because it's hard to explain to people who don't know what a body slam is, what exactly that feels like, or what it's like to be on the road, what it's like to be on a show like this. So you do become very close to your peers just because of the whole
what
situation
you're going
that you're in.
Together.
Exactly. Right.
It was interesting. I don't know about you, Shaq, cause you dance, but I, and a couple of the other girls have had sort of these life-changing experiences, because and this is weird, I get emotional, I've never been part of a team. Never.
Really?
No.
I mean, not even an improv group. That's a team.
No, because I've always, like, I'm a stand-up, and that's sort of solo. I'm an actor, and that's solo, and I tour the country, like, alone.
And you never play
with
sports.
Me and my guitar, and that's solo. And I've sort of always just been like, I gotta get this thing for me because I gotta advance me, and I have a, you know, and it's been a sort of real, so of course I have friends and loved ones, but it's been a largely solo journey. And the thing about wrestling, which sounds really silly, but you can't do it alone.
Mm-mm.
I just got chills. So yeah, it's like
such a partner.
It's such
a team sport.
It's a team sport. And it's just, and I've spoken to other girls, and I don't want to say really who, because I don't know if they want me to really out them.
Yeah,
but
I agree. We're all like, we don't know what we should say. We respect each other so much. Sure. It's like we know everything, but we just don't.
It's a big ensemble cast. Yes. There's, I don't know, there's 8, 9, 10, 12 people, girls on the show.
15.
Is that 15 now?
15.
Gotcha. So, but that's what I mean. You guys are learning together. And for me, like, even when I remember training and wrestling, there were some people that just got it right off the bat. And you'd be pissed off, like, oh my God, like, this guy is so good. And he's been doing it for 3 days, and I've been doing it for 3 days, and I'm totally the shits. But that's kind of how you gain that respect for each other. And there's also a little bit of a behind your head competition. Like, I have to get better.
100%. Right? And certain people, it's interesting, are fearless but not great.
Mm-hmm.
And certain people turn out to be great, but they were filled with fear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting. It's like a sociology experiment where you're like, what do you do? What are you scared of? You're killing it. Right. But then someone else has like no fear, but is like sort of not great, but like front bumping left and right. And it's sort of a mess, but they're like have no fear to like jump off the ropes and to like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So coming from, like I said, from two sides of the coin, just to talk to Jackie quickly, what was it like when you first got this gig, you know, 2 years ago or whatever? You never know what to expect. You never know if it's going to be a hit or not. But what did you think when you first got this, message from your agent to audition for the wrestling show?
I want to know too.
Yeah.
Shakira, step out of the room. I actually just want to talk to Chris about this.
It's okay. I'll just sip my coffee here.
Thank you so much. How about Anita?
Amita.
Oh, Shakira's grandma, I'm going to kiss her cheeks. Okay. So when I first got the audition for Glow, I already was like, wait, what is going on? So it's Jenji Kohan, and it's from, you know, the writers and the showrunner of Orange is the New Black.
Right.
Right. And so I'm going into this thing, and it's going to be an all lady show, and it takes place in the 80s, and it's going to be a half hour comedy. And I was just like, give me. And as an actor, I've been acting since I'm 9. Mm-hmm. And so for the last 20 more years, mm-hmm. I've just been sort of out there hustling, pounding the pavement. And this job comes along, and it's sort of like, it's the dream. So the other ones you try out for, there have been a couple huge disappointments, of course, over the course of my career, and a couple huge majestic, you know, not accomplishments, but wins, let's say.
Successes.
Right. Successes. Jeez, couldn't think of that. Tells you a little bit about me. Couldn't even think of the word success. So I end up trying out for Glow, and I had just, before Glow, I played Gilda Radner in a David Wayne movie. And David's one of my comedy heroes, and Gilda is my actual comedy icon. It's called A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
No kidding.
And it was...
As soon as you said that, I can see you as Gilda Radner.
You need to see it.
Yeah.
I watch it. She's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
She's got to put on the big frizzy.
Yeah, 100%. I'm Gilda Radner. So I had just... and the casting director for that, it was the mentor of the casting director for Glow. So Allison Jones cast that movie, mm-hmm. and then she showed Jen Houston, who cast Glow, my Gilda tape. And Jen was like, oh, I got to bring that girl in for Glow. Who is that? But up until that moment, I didn't really have, there were very few opportunities and very few, you know, it wasn't, the trajectory was lateral as opposed to upward.
Right.
It would be like a guest spot here and there, but it wasn't like, I wasn't even going in the rooms for these monster opportunities. So then after I did the Gilda thing, which was a pretty, other than it being the one of the most life-affirming and altering jobs I've ever done, mm-hmm. it also felt like a pretty big win.
Sure.
Because that was one of those ones that everybody what everybody was going for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you get it,
felt
yeah.
pretty cool. And I felt really in the mix at that point. And then Glow came along and I was like, I can't even believe I'm being considered for this. Mm-hmm. And then I went in with Jen and she was immediately like, I saw your Gilda tape. Like, let's go.
Right.
And I was like, okay, let's go.
And that was another one that was in the mix. Mm-hmm. Glow. Everyone wanted.
Everybody.
When
wanted
they
Glow.
Read the pilot, well, from what I've heard, everyone wanted to be on.
But that's
Glow.
Also how the town works, right? Like, if you're talking about what's the best roles for women in LA?
And best roles? I mean, how many are there?
What yeah. roles are there? Right. Maybe it's the love interest in an action movie or right. you know, maybe a sidekick or whatever. But to have a show based around, like you said, 15 women
right.
and basically one guy.
Right.
That's a dream.
It's unreal. It's unprecedented what these women are doing for television and truly what they're doing for young girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. that's an answer to a different question of like how little girls want to wrestle now. And I mean, obviously because of you and truly, you know, WWE and Total Divas and all of these amazing wrestlers, little kids already want to wrestle. But this, I think, brings it to a totally different audience.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, back to the other thing, and I'll try and be a little bit more brief. When I got this audition, and then I just kept going in, and then I was meeting producers, and then I was meeting Genji, and then I was trying out for various roles, and they didn't know where I fit or who I played, and they didn't even know really what characters were what at that point. They were like, we think there's going to be a party girl, we think there's going to be a cheerleader, there's going to be a wolf of some sort. I don't even think
so you
there
got
was
cast
a there wasn't even a I don't think
Melrose
that, correct no I got cast as Melrose,
okay,
but there I briefly read Sheila, I read Jenny, I read Ruth all day,
but they
all
didn't
night.
Know exactly what the specifics yeah. of the character were going to be right. until they found the people for that
that's what I think. And it was unreal. I mean, it still is unreal. I even thinking about the opportunity and being in that room and something as an actor, something insane happened in that room. Cause I don't know if this happens to you, Shaq, but like you get so nervous. You
every
could
time.
Be
every time.
So charming.
Conditions are the worst.
Every
right?
time, no matter how
them.
Many times you do and how much you worked on your craft, yeah, I still get nervous.
Because all you get is those blank stares, the person just looking at you. Okay, let me read the lines. Hey, you, what are you doing?
And they've read it like yeah. over 50 times with.
And then when you're done, they just go, okay, thank you. And you're like, that's it? Like, can
100%.
I get some criticism?
And there's, it's incredibly challenging situation to succeed in. Just
right.
auditions in
sure,
general.
Sure.
And you know, you can think back on how many times you just went in there and you were like, well, that wasn't what I'm capable of at all. And yeah. somehow I went in, and every time I went in for Glow, there was like a little, not to be too, you know, the best way I could describe it would be to say there was like a spiritual ribbon wrapped around the whole thing, where I just like, I just kept, like, I wasn't really nervous and I wasn't, I just,
wow,
it just was
crazy.
It just was happening. It just was like, this, is, I'm going for this. And here we are.
Yeah. Now, but for you, Shaq, so now you hear about this show. Did you watch Glow when it was out?
I did. I had to binge it.
Once you hear about the audition, you go back
yes.
and binge it, right?
Yes. I do as much research as I can. If the show is out, I'll try and watch four or more episodes. Mm. And I mean, it's like a cheat sheet. Mm. And Glow, the tone is so different from any other comedy show there was. And I just started acting 5 years ago. I went to high school and studied theater, but my teachers were great, but it was always like, Shakira can be dance captain. So I never really was put in a position where people gave me a voice. So my whole
right.
life, I just had been super silent, you know, and people...
Background performer.
Completely, yeah. completely. Or dancing behind people. I danced for J-Lo, and I thought that would be like, you know, the greatest thing. And it was, but then I was like, there has to be more
right.
than this. Like,
you want to be J-Lo.
Yeah, I don't want to be J-Lo, but I do want to work alongside her and learn from
right.
that woman, because she is incredibly intelligent and a businesswoman. But anyway, yeah, I mean, for me, it was just, I did as much research as I could. I went in there, and at that point in my career, I had just gone through, I was going through hell. Like my agent became a management, which means I had nobody to submit me to auditions. I had a manager. She's my manager of 5 years, and she's my best friend since we were 14. Mm-hmm. So she's my manager. I don't need a manager. So he obviously dropped me.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? At this point, I just maybe need somebody else. Maybe it's a good time to change. She submitted me to 15 agencies. I had 6 meetings and no one signed me. And I was like, what's wrong? I mean, I'm bilingual. I speak Spanish. I have some credits. I mean, nothing crazy, but there's no reason why no one would sign me. And these agencies were in my, you know, in my wheelhouse. I could go in and I'm like, oh, this person, they would sign me. I looked at their client list. So I did that. I think it was 5 months. I didn't have any rep and I was in auditioning. I was in classes. I always stay like super.
Yeah, stay tight, yeah.
Completely. Yeah. And I live with my mom and my grandma. So that's the most like pressure and motivation ever, you know? So yeah, I mean, at that point, I think it was a month before GLOW, I had a huge epiphany and I was just like, you know what? Whatever it is, you're going into these rooms. You're going into these meetings, people are not buying what you're selling, and that's just the fact. And I just looked at myself in the mirror and I'm like, these people are saying no for a reason. You know, there's a certain point where you get to and you're like, oh, I'm good enough for this, I'm good enough for that. I was like, I have to start over, basically. So I just looked at myself and I was like, what would you look like in 5 years? What would you look like? You would be better.
Right.
You would be greater, you would be doing more. So I started doing that. As soon as I had that epiphany, I changed everything. Started working out more, just like a month. I was working out 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. I met up with this agent. Agent ended up signing me. That GLOW was my second audition. And I just went in there, it was on tape for producers. And then 2 weeks later, I got a call and they were like, how would you like it if you didn't have to audition for the rest of the year? Because you're the newest member of
But
GLOW.
Isn't that kind of like, I read something a while
Not crazy.
Ago where John Travolta said he used to go into auditions and say like, I'm going in there knowing that I've got the part. Like, I know I've got it. No one's going to tell me differently. I've got the part. Thanks a lot. Well, it's going to be fun working with you. I'll see you there. When you walk in there with that attitude, it gives you a little bit more traction than being kind of a little bit like, okay, here I am for my audition, guys. Like, no,
but
I'm
you
going,
can't
I'm gonna
fake
get it.
That.
No, you have to have it.
I know.
That's right.
So, like,
you have to
I've
have
definitely
it.
I've gone in and been like, okay, but this is going to be mine. And then you look down and you're like, legs are shaking and you're like, oh, great. Like testing for a show. You know, you're going to meet the entire studio, the entire network, you know. But they do it a lot differently these days. Like I booked GLOW, I actually met everybody. But with the Gilda thing, I booked that off tape. Like had I gotten to sit in front of.
That's rare.
Rare. And if I had gotten to sit in front of the writers, the creators of Wet Hot American Summer, some of my comedy gods, I'm not sure that would have gone the way it went, but they put me on tape and I just was like, oh, me and Allison Jones just get to like play. I was changing costumes. I was doing different characters. I was like, let's have a party, Allison.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
But again, you know,
let me ask you about the show itself. Now, how much wrestling do you guys actually do? Is there actually people
like,
that
could I take you? Probably.
Well, yeah. I mean, duh, both of you guys could. I'm ready to just explode in a puff of dust at this point. But my point is like, are you guys actually doing the spots over and over and over again? Do they have people stand in doing them for background? Unless that's giving away industry secrets.
I don't know.
But you guys have to be wrestling. Like that's obviously.
We wrestle.
Yeah.
We wrestle so much.
We wrestle so much.
All of it.
We do.
We want to wrestle so much. Don't get it. You know, I don't want to.
Oh no, don't get it twisted.
We love it.
No, but what I'm saying is like, okay, I have a wrestling match. Let's say you and I are going to wrestle and we're having a match. It's 20 minutes and we go in there and we bang it out and we do it and whatever happens, happens and you're finished. You go back and have a beer. When you guys are filming a show, you got to do take it this way and let's do this way and do a cover shoot and do a long shoot. So you're doing the scene over and over and over and over and over again.
Right. With the wrestling.
That's why I'm wondering, do you actually have to do it over and over again? Because that's not easy.
Well, we do. We definitely do it over and over again. But like, let's say the camera is mostly getting Shakira on this and I have to like, and let's say she clotheslines me into a back bump. They don't have to show. I don't have to do the full bump.
Gotcha. Sure.
Because the camera's not on me.
Right.
So they let you know, like if they're pretty much on your face and you look like you're body slamming someone, you just do the action of
and
it.
Then, yeah.
And the person is sort of like jumping and they're really weightless and you're not actually having to
body slam. But there is a lot of times when you're doing the bumps
over
and over again.
I like to do it. There's times where we want to save that big bump or that big move for camera.
Uh-huh.
I'm one that I like to feel what it's going to feel like before I get there. I don't want to be shocked, you know. So when I'm training, I take it. You know,
how it's going to be. Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how you are.
No, I definitely.
I like to feel. I don't want to be shocked. Mm-hmm. I know it hurts. And I know
or
the
can.
Pain. And,
yeah. Well, for I feel like, yes, definitely we train. I know what it's going to feel like. And then on the day, I'm going to do it and I know what it's going to feel like. My point is just to say that I'm not going to do it 18 times.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us do it 18 times.
Yeah, no, nor should you.
Sometimes the our stunt coordinator, Shauna Duggins, and her, what do we call Helena? Her cohort, Helena, they're the most amazing ever. But they... the only time Helena ever put on my Melrose costume was not to step in for me in the ring. It was to stunt drive.
Oh,
because okay. I drive this that white stretch limo.
Yeah. How was Chavo as Chavo Guerrero was your trainer? How is he as a trainer?
He's amazing.
I love him so much. I love him so much.
He is phenomenal.
I might have to call him when we leave here.
He's great. And shout out to Marty because he's awesome.
Marty Rubicabla.
Yes.
Marty Elias.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chavo. Are we gonna say?
I was just saying, Marty's the ref, or does he also help you train?
He's more in the ref space, gotcha. But he pops in and Chavo will be like, Mark, come here. And he'll like do something on him really quick just to show us. But I mean, Marty builds the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So Marty makes it all.
And that's what he used to do in WWE was he built the ring and was the referee in WWE. So he comes right from the source. Chavo had a big task of training. You know, you came in later, Shakira, but for you guys, the original, let's say dozen girls, whatever it is, 15 girls, he had to train all of you basically from scratch,
you know,
in like a 4-week period. Right,
it's crazy what has happened and how it was possible. Like you just go, like you're gonna need 6 months, guys. What are you doing with 4 weeks?
Well, that's what most people need.
4 weeks, you just have it. The trick is that over the course of the season, if let's say me and Ellen Wong, who plays Jenny, let's say me and Ellen have a big match, then they'll train us specifically to get the choreo perfect over the course of the season. So we learn like mostly what we're going to have to in those 4 weeks prior, and then they'll really brush up your skills
get
over
you
that.
In there for the,
but Chavo, I mean, never ever made anyone feel
bad.
Yeah, like I'm the man and I'm the pro and you are these you girls are these actors trying to be wrestlers. It's just from day one, it was like, you girls, I could cry.
Yeah,
it's like,
so
you
supportive.
Girls can do this. You girls will do this. We're going to be safe and you're going to look like warriors when we're done with you.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's cool.
That's literally what it is.
That's
and safety first, which is
of
important.
Course. Of course.
Oh, beyond. Mm-hmm.
You have to take care of each other. You can't be rushing things. You got to be very, you know, very use a lot of care, like you said. Mm-hmm. So, Shaq, did you know because Jackie was saying when she was trying out, she didn't know exactly which role she was going for. Yeah. Did you know specifically?
No, I knew.
This is what I want. Now tell us about your character, because you're new and we haven't seen your character yet.
Well, she is a lesbian dancer, stripper.
Okay.
Wrestler.
Right. What's her name?
She's amazing. Yolanda.
Yolanda. Okay. So
she likes people to call her Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo. The lesbian dancing stripper. Excellent.
No, none of them call me. I'm in love with you.
Are you the only new cast member?
I am.
Wow.
You know what's awesome for me is also I've been dancing since I was 3.
Right.
And I get to dance on here too. So it's just like a dream role for me.
Yeah.
It's a dream role for me. I think in the sides also there was like a line. They made up the sides for my audition. It wasn't exactly in the
script or whatever.
It wasn't in the script. And I think one of the lines was like, my abuela sits on the couch. I'm like, oh, this is mine. Like, I felt that moment there.
My grandma sits on the couch.
Yeah.
And that's basically
like,
what you're
I can look at my grandmother right now and do these signs. That audition for me. And like I said, I had been ready. I had that epiphany the month before. So going in there with that, I felt like you felt like this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, it's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's amazing.
I felt the same.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think my character, she shakes things up, season 2. She walks in and it's like trouble.
There's
right
new,
away.
New queen bitch in town. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right away. And then she surprises you. She, she's the only Latina in the show.
That's true, right?
Yes. At the moment, she's the only lesbian. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's it's amazing.
You checked off 2 boxes there.
Yeah.
With one character, right?
Oh, she checks off a lot more. I just don't want to reveal anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's exciting. And I it was like my dream character to play. I mean, I wanted all the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I literally talked to
Beth
Morgan.
Oh my God, get out of here with your costumes.
All of the costumes.
Right.
I wanted all of the jackets. jackets. I want to be in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Jackie calls me a 90s baby, but I love the 80s.
Leather fingerless gloves.
I was that for, I was going to ask you guys that.
So about, much velour
kind of, pants. The whole show's based in the 80s. How is that for you guys to kind of go back to that time machine?
Well, Shakira's going back to a time before she was born. I'm going right. back to my childhood as I promptly walk in front of a Mack truck. It's the best. I mean, we know it's a weird thing with me. Like the last few years of my life are the first years I didn't already dress like that. Like I never stopped. Like I was just fanny packs right. and just really? Like ridiculous earrings and ridiculous. Yeah, that's just sort of how I always dressed. Never really stopped. And I just vintage t-shirts and the whole deal. And then in the last couple years, I've been more just like a t-shirt and jeans kind of person.
Same.
But Beth Morgan, our costume designer, is, she's a mad scientist genius. She has to dress so many people. It's insane.
Right.
Every person, yes, but every person is so specific. Like she buys a lot of the vintage stuff on like Etsy and eBay and all these incredible mm-hmm. vintage shops. And when she finds a piece, she knows exactly what character it's for, and she puts it all together.
She'll pull off like belts. She's like, oh, that's not Yolanda. That's definitely Melrose.
That's gotcha. Melrose belt.
Yeah.
And there's some tiny overlap. Like Shakira in season two wears Melrose fingerless gloves from season one.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hey.
Let's talk about Melrose, though. She was kind of like the party girl.
Yep.
Very memorable scene where you had the miscarriage.
Yes, I did.
Which is the one I remember the most. I'm sure really? You have other scenes, but I can't remember yeah. them. But
no, that's people tell me that.
That's yeah. the one, right. So what,
I mean, it's not every day you see a young lady in a gold Speedo shoot ketchup out of her vagina, Chris.
It's really
I mean,
not, it's especially a, on cable TV.
It's an occasion, my
right,
friend.
It really is.
Shakira's covering her mouth with embarrassment.
It's destination
right
television, isn't it?
That's right, destination television. So I took a yacht to get there.
How did the arc of that character go? Because that was early on.
Yes.
That might have been even the first or second episode. And no one really liked you right. in the show, right?
Right, right, right.
They kind of thought you were the bitch.
Absolutely, I was. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing. That sort of happens to Melrose because in season two she's way more of a team player. Mm. Like I think in season one, I mean, it kind of mirrored my journey, and I don't think our writers did that on purpose by any means, but she was out for herself season one and she's out for the team season two. Mm. You know, the things that she tries to cook up in season two are things such as sex parties and getting the girls paid for their autographs and for signings. And she's sort of like, wait, we need to monetize this situation. Mm-hmm. Not I need, like season one, she would have been like, shit, I got to get paid for my right. autograph. I don't care what you bitches do. Season two, she's like, no, I'm going to plan this. She sort of like has a couple.
We are going to do it.
We are going to do it. She sort of has a couple Braveheart speeches about getting all the women together and about getting them to sort of like see their value and what they're worth.
I think too, that's a little bit of what, you know, Yolanda coming in, I think makes all the girls realize that they are a team, and they almost get so overprotective over who they are. And I think it really makes them, you know, what's the word? It really makes them appreciate, you know,
what they have.
Yeah, what they have yeah. and the many celebrities that they are.
Right.
So I think she shakes it up in that way, too, and makes them look at themselves a little differently.
Because the first season was all about kind of putting together the show and then kind of we're going to put on a show, kids. And at the end, you did the show at the big venue and everybody's excited. Probably I don't want you to say too much, but is season two kind of a similar arc? Are we branching out into being more of a national?
What you said more like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just bigger. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just there's more wrestling. There's more conflict. There's more story arcs. We just go deeper. I know that sounds really vague, but mm-hmm. it is truly what happens. And, you know, in 10 episodes that are only 30 minutes each, there's not a chance to really go into every single person's home. But we try and go yeah. deeper.
Were you surprised at how popular season one was?
No.
You knew it from the start?
No, I didn't know it. I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'm a neurotic Jew, and I think I'm always just nervous. Like, oh, is anybody going to like this? Is anybody going to care?
Someone like me?
I know. Right? Is anyone going to like me? Is this going to be the thing that moves the needle for me, for the show, for women?
Well,
for...
that's always the way, though. Is it going to be the thing that moves right. the needle? Is it going to end my career?
You never know.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
you truly never know. I was optimistic. Because when I was, as we were going through, you know, we don't get episode two till we're halfway through episode one. Mm-hmm. And then, and so on. So we don't even know. We just thought, here's who's involved. It's mostly women directors. It's mostly women writers. It's women showrunners. It's almost completely women actors. We're part of an important thing that's happening mm-hmm. at the right time.
Yeah.
And in season two, I think, also I will throw in, we are adding dialogue to a conversation that's long overdue as far as, you know, and we're, I don't think our writers and showrunners wrote anything to do with, you know, to do with Time's Up and to do with Me Too. But it just so happens that a bunch of the episodes
deal with
things that women have dealt with in Hollywood and elsewhere since the dawn of time.
And there was much more accepted in the 80s, though, when it wasn't about
smacks on the ass and the whole thing. And so our show deals with all of that. And I think we're adding a lot of really important dialogue to the conversation, which is
What did you do with your hair? You got a ponytail right now. What kind of 80s hair did you have? Was it big?
Yeah, it was just...
big and Latina?
It was big.
Curly?
It was big and round and teased. And well, it's... I love how... I mean, we did ADR... I saw myself in episode one and I was like, I am in love with this woman. Mm. And I started doing more ADR as the episodes go. It just gets rounder.
Episode six,
but that's how it used to be,
though.
Talk to Michelle. Uh-huh. Like,
that's really how it was.
Michelle's my hair person on set, and it's just got like rounder. but there's a reason. It's because like it goes with the wrestling character, so I think it kind of drew a fine line. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved my hair.
Your favorite.
Yeah.
Did you guys get it nominated for some awards and stuff, Jackie, for season one?
Yes.
Did you win some awards?
We got nominated. I think Ally got nominated for Best Actress in a Comedy at the Golden Globes. We haven't heard about Emmys yet, but Ally got nominated. And then we got nominated as an entire cast for Best Ensemble in a Comedy. No, for the SAG Awards.
Did you guys all go?
We all went.
And Zadel took me as her plus one. So I won with
that. How was that for you guys, the neurotic Jew going to the SAG Awards? Did you see anybody there that you kind of freaked out over?
I brought my mother.
Yeah.
It was so incredible. I mean, we got nominated for Best Ensemble, and I mean, the other shows that were nominated were like Veep and Blackish, and you're just looking around like, what is even, how are we in this company? But then you're also like, damn right we're in this company.
Yeah.
There's like a perspective shift. We didn't. Mm-hmm. But it was really incredible. Joss, what else did we get nominated for? I feel like there was
something else.
I know that like Ally got nominated for a bunch. Betty got nominated. Mark got nominated.
The writers also won for something. But Satellite. What is it? Satellite?
Our writers. But I mean, there was just so many.
Did that change?
We were in the mix for everything. Like we were at Critics' Choice. We were at Golden Globes. Not like, you know, our show was represented everywhere.
Did that change things for you at all? Did people start recognizing you more? Is it that type of a role where people know? Or
I don't think the awards.
I mean, just the show itself.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, it's interesting with a show like Glow or a Netflix show with the streaming, because people consume it so quickly.
Right.
And move on to the next thing so quickly.
Good point.
And so I think most of the recognition happens in like the 3 months after the show comes out while everyone's watching it. And then they're like, oh my God, you're on that show. But then also we look so different in person.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. Show. Yeah.
So for those few reasons, but yeah, people are lovely. I mean, the fans of the show are amazing. I mean, we're really lucky.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, Shaggy, you mentioned there's a couple things I want to talk about outside of Glow. You mentioned that you were a dancer for J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get that gig and how was that?
Well, I just auditioned. Mm-hmm. Dance auditions are crazy. I mean, they're just two different worlds. Dance auditions, there's like thousands of girls. Sometimes they have private calls, but those private calls are like 100 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's great. Everyone's great.
A great dancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Freestyle for Your Life?
I have not.
Just easy freestyle for the job. So basically they teach you like choreography. So they'll teach you 3/8 counts of something. You can barely see the choreographer. You try and make your way or switch lines or learn it from the girl next to you. And
who may be doing it wrong,
or she may teach you wrong to sabotage you. But we go in like groups of five or six, and then after the choreography, you execute the choreography, you freestyle for your life. So that's what I used to call it. I freestyle for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember it was in my wheelhouse. She wanted to do a salsa tribute to Celia Cruz, who's the Cuban queen of mambo, and I grew up listening to her. My mom and grandmother are just.
Are you Cuban?
And, well, I thought I was until I was 10.
Oh.
Because the woman who raised me, who's my grandmother, is Cuban.
Okay.
Actually, her and my mom are best friends.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So I just grew up thinking I was Cuban until I was 10 years old. And one of the girls in my dance class called me out. She's like, "You're not Cuban." I'll never forget that girl's name. She like traumatized me.
What's her name?
Julissa Mateo. So if you're listening to this, yeah. I love you, but you traumatized me.
What are you? Puerto Rican?
I'm Nicaraguan.
Nicaraguan, gotcha.
Yeah, funny. Everyone goes to Puerto Rican first. The typical... Or Dominican they go to.
I would have went, I was going to say Cuban because I saw, I was going to say, because you have a Cuban, no, I saw a picture that says Cuba C in your house. So that's why I guess Cuban in the first place.
No, I'm Nicaraguan.
Okay.
But everyone thinks I'm Cuban, gotcha. Or Puerto Rican.
So you're doing this Celia thing and she's a famous, and so J-Lo is super excited to have you involved.
Yes. I mean, it was a huge ensemble thing. We did it at the American Music Awards. And then I also danced for her for American Idol.
Mm.
So it was great. I danced for Pitbull, Daddy Yankee, Don Omar.
So when you're dancing with like those big ensembles for the do they acknowledge
so
your existence?
Right,
like, does J-Lo come and say, "Hi, I'm J-Lo"? Or does he say, "Hi, I'm Pitbull"? Or is it just kind of like, "And two and three and go"?
Yeah. Both. It depends on their mood. It depends on how busy they are. I understand because now I'm busy as well. So I know that, but she was nice to me. It's hard. She doesn't really make that much eye contact. She just is on the go.
Right.
Pitbull his voice is exactly the same as it is in his music. I'm like, "Are you shouting at me? Or is this like,
how you doing? Yeah. I'm gonna be
now." I'm like, "Is this, are we having a conversation? Yeah, right. Are you singing?" Yeah,
was this a rehearsal? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they usually acknowledge us. It's, I don't know. I have so much respect for dance because I've been doing it for so long. And I think they're so overlooked and underrated and underpaid. And yeah, I'm just, you know, hoping to have a platform to speak a little bit more on it. And they have something called Dancers Alliance, which is now that came up a couple years ago only, where the union wasn't treating dancers fairly. You know, crew ate first, which, you know, I wouldn't mind that, but if I'm dancing
You're part of the show, of course.
No, but not even that. If I'm dancing for 8 to 9 hours, my body needs fuel. So certain things like that, I hope to like have, you know, a little bit of a platform to represent.
It's interesting. I did Dance with the Stars about 5-6 years ago, just to learn, because they asked me 3 times and I turned it down the first couple of times. Like, I don't do that.
Why?
Do that. Just wasn't interested. And then finally, someone was like, "You got to do it. You'll love it." And I tried it, and then I learned, like, to learn the art of dance was an incredible experience because it's hard.
I didn't know you were on Dancing
with
the Stars.
7 weeks I lasted.
What?
Yeah, it was really.
Did you meet Brittany Cherry? She was on the dance troupe.
I was not with Brittany. This was like Cheryl. Cheryl was my partner or whatever. But just like dancing, like I could do the real quick step ones, like my quick step, my jive, and my spinning Viennese waltz were amazing. And my Latin dances sucked. Terrible.
Oh, I was my really, actually, God. I did a great paso doble.
Point being, it's. It's so hard to dance, but it's such a great experience and so much fun to do it. But it's not easy. It's a real art form to be able to get out there and do that properly.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So it is so underrated.
Yeah, sure.
To me,
absolutely.
It's so much work, and you know, if you will now, you know.
I know.
You know.
I mean, will never.
It's so hard. It's such a discipline.
Very addictive too, though. You know, and so specific with, like, you know, ballroom dance. You're finger has to be down and all this stuff. But now the other side of the coin for you, Jackie, is you actually were on American Idol.
Oh boy.
So I want to hear about the audition for American Idol.
This microphone back up.
Hi. Here we go. Now, did you audition? Were you on the show?
All of them.
All the above. Okay.
So I had been acting since I was 9, and then I think I was like 28, and it was my last year, because after you're 28, you're old and you can't be on American Idol anymore.
Yes.
So isn't that weird? I mean, it's, I guess it's weird. I guess it's sort of not, though. I don't know, in my opinion.
Show business.
Yeah, right? So you can. She walked in with legs up to here. Okay. So I went. So when I first tried out, it was the only time I'd ever tried out. I just like went on a whim. I was in New York and I just grabbed my friend from Jersey and I was like, let's just go. And it was sort of like, I had already been making music for probably, you know, half my life at that point. It had already been like in vans with people on the road and just doing it. And American Idol at that point was sort of like the opposite of what my like values as a musician and an artist were. I was like, I've just been busting my ass for 10 years and like people can just go on this show and just make it. That's a thing. And then I was like, wait, people can just go on this show and make it. And
that's a thing.
Wait a second. And it can catapult your career. And I was like, I put the time in. I'm ready for a career catapult. Let's go. And, you know, 108,000 people tried out that season.
You're kidding me.
No, that's real. 18,000 in New York alone.
Where did you try out?
I tried out at the Izod Center in Jersey.
Okay. So how does that work? Is it the same as what Shaq said? You go in groups or?
Well, there's almost 20,000. So there's like 30,000 people there because all of those 18,000 have brought a guest.
Yeah.
Or half of them have brought
a guest. Or parents or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So you show up. Are you Insta?
I just did it too.
So then you, it's crazy. You show up and there's all these people there. So the first day you go and you just get a wristband to get a number. Then you go home. Just the wristband, then you go home. Then the second day you come back, you have your wristband, you're in this, you know, what is it even called? Like,
Arena.
Yeah. Couldn't think of the word. I was like, amphitheater? No.
Okay. With words 15
remember the word success. Than... Remember the word arena. You're going to need those in the future.
Wow. Oh, look at you,
call back. I was paying attention.
I know, wow. But also, wow, I need to write that down for myself.
Yeah.
Words I couldn't think of were success Freudian and arena. Wowzers. I'm going to cry. All right, it's fine. I'm fragile. So
I'm on glow. Who cares?
That's right.
Right.
So then there's, you know, 30,000 people in this arena and they call your group. And, you know, we probably waited 6-7 hours at least. And then they call your row and your row goes down and you're waiting in a row. And then there's these like sheets set up like 6 across and 6. So 12 booths, basically, with this like, you know, is it PVC piping?
Yeah.
So it's like, and then a sheet hanging down over PVC piping. So it's not like the person in the next booth over. Like, if that's Ruben Studdard, no one's going to be able to hear me sing. That person's 1 inch away from me. The
right.
only thing separating us is literally
a bed sheet. Yeah.
And they don't want your name. They don't want where you're from. They don't want any personality whatsoever. Mm. They just want you to step up and sing. So I stepped up and I was like, hi, you know, and of course, making a little bit of a scene and being like, I'm Jackie. And then they're like, you weren't supposed to say any of that. And I was like, was I not? And then, yeah, was I not? I'd like to sing Say Goodbye to Hollywood. But no, New York State of Mind by Billy Joel. And they were like, really? And I was like, yes. And then I did my thing. Also, I was wearing a leotard and high tops. I should mention.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
Just a leotard?
No, I was wearing a leotard with jeans.
Okay.
But I was wearing a leotard. I was wearing a leotard.
We can actually picture her that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, getting ready for the glow.
I was wearing a leotard, two belts, jeans, high tops, 3 watches, and a fanny pack.
Okay.
Got it. This was not a costume. This was just me being my truest damn self. Right. So then you sing. And then,
for how long?
Oh.
30 seconds?
Maybe.
Gotcha.
And then they're like, thank you. And then everybody else in my group got sent home and they gave me a green piece of paper. And they were like, hold on to that. They'll tell you in a minute what to do with it.
So they say, you go home.
Yep.
Here's a green piece of paper for
you. Nope. They only said, here's a green piece of paper for you. Thank you, everyone else.
Wow.
Yep. And then everybody goes. And then I take my green piece of paper like into the underbelly of the arena. And then I'm waiting back there with, you know, gotta be, you know, 1,000 people. From 18,000 to 1,000 or 500 people,
whatever,
let's call
it. Whittling it down.
And then those people went in to sing for like a little bit of a higher up producer. So I was initially singing for like a producer / like PA.
Probably, yeah. The scrubs, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, you have to get through, the person you have to get through first is like.
Yeah, so the catering guy or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They probably have no knowledge
but
of
nothing.
Music.
But isn't that interesting? Who has to see you.
Yeah.
That's the first person. That's the first knot you have to cross.
You think it'd be flip-flopped to where the highest was first and then would go up to like, well, who's more mainstream?
Right,
but they go the other way around.
Right.
Wow.
So the very first person is just ostensibly could be. I mean, so I think in each booth, there's like one producer. But there's like 3 people behind the
table. Yeah.
And so like they whisper and they decide. Then I take my green paper, I go in the back. Then I sang for 3 executive producers. Then that got whittled down to, let's say, 150 in New York. And then we thought we were all going to meet the judges for like the New York audition that's televised. And then they called us all and they said, you all got to audition again because there's too many of you. The judges only want to see 75.
Wow.
So then they whittled the 150 down to 75. Then by the time I even met the judges, I think I had sung like 4 or 5 times. Then I met the judges in New York. the wall fell, came crumbling down behind the judges. There was like a...
From the power of your voice?
You bet, exactly. More like, the thing fell behind the judges, and then they ended up, of course, televising that.
So you had
So then out of the 18,000 people that auditioned in New York, 3 of those auditions were televised. One was your girl.
Wow. Yes.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Look it up on YouTube.
Because the walls fell.
And then was that kind of, did the figurative walls fall too? Where they're like, get the hell out of here?
No.
Oh.
Then after my New York audition, I went to Hollywood Week. Oh. And then they televised every single step of my journey in Hollywood Week. The whole thing, again, wrapped with this ribbon. I was like, what is going on here?
It was the fanny pack.
It was the fanny pack all day, every day. And then I did that. I went in, once I got to Hollywood Week, it was like solo performance, then group performance, then your final solo performance where you're allowed to play an instrument. Then they put us into 3 different rooms. Then they made a top 36, and I was in that. And then I made it to the live shows.
Wow.
And then your girl got the boot.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum.
So how far did you make it? 36 or 36? Okay.
But my season was one of the only seasons where the top, like the first televised, like the first live show was 36, not 24.
Oh, okay.
Then they realized the error of their ways immediately and never did that.
Who won the season that you...
Chris Allen, but most people think Adam Lambert did.
Oh, well, right. Adam Lambert really won. Right. He's only singing for Queen now.
Who cares?
Right. Yeah, who cares, right? That's interesting to me, like you were saying about how it does catapult, and obviously Carrie Underwood, huge, and Kelly Clarkson, Daughtry to an extent, but Adam Lambert, singer Queen. James Durbin, singer Quiet Riot. Like those guys are getting gigs with mainstream bands. He is, and he's killing it. He actually gave them a second or a 50-second wind at this point. But so interesting. But here you are. I bet you you're the only one that ever made it through and is a regular on Glow.
She's the only one, I think.
And you're the only J-Lo dancer and Pitbull dancer.
I'm the only one.
So I think you guys both came out okay.
It's not bad. And
it's not bad.
Like Shakira was saying earlier about how like she dances on Glow. Like her character in the scenes, like when she auditioned, they wanted someone that could dance. But then when they saw how Shakira could dance, then they were like, oh, this character is going to dance.
She's dancing. Like, hi, guys.
They did the same thing with me, though.
Oh,
right? Like, I sing a bunch.
So initially, they didn't want a singer for your role.
No, no. It never was in the cards that Melrose sing. She was just a girl that was in music videos, but then I sing. And they were like, well, it would be silly not to have this person who could sing.
But isn't there another girl on the show who's like a British pop star?
Yes, Kate Nash.
Right.
And her character is... Rhonda,
yes, she sings too.
She sings in season 2 as well.
So you got a talented
smartest
bunch
girl
of girls here.
That's
oh yeah,
that's her character.
So that's her character.
Her character, Britannica, the smartest girl in the world.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And your character is Melrose.
Yeah, like, the partiest girl in the world.
The partiest girl in your. And what's your character? Yo-Yo.
You will find.
Oh, that's right. Can't divulge.
We'll find out.
Can you already tell?
But
I don't know. They have like their little taglines, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just wait to see what it is. What stands out.
Yeah. Oh. But as it stands right now, you guys don't know the whole season arc. Like you said, you just know season 1, or have you filmed the whole season now?
No, season 2 is done.
Season 2, right?
Yeah. No,
gotcha.
Season 2 has been done. We finished late January.
Okay.
We are coming out June 29th.
So did either one of you get eaten by zombies?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, that's what I'm wondering, right?
Because
you never know. That's the Walking Dead thing.
I know.
Right.
It could be a crossover.
Though, Glow, we need a Glow Stranger Things crossover. Because those are at least happening at the same time.
Yes. Where the Stranger Things kids, same time frame.
Yes, where the Stranger Things kids are like in love with the Glow girls. And
that'd be so
they're
obvious.
Watching Glow.
100%.
And then show up like when Josie and the Pussycats met Kiss.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Well, as we wind down here, last few things. What's your favorite thing about your character? For you, Jackie.
You go first. Jeff.
Okay, you go first.
About me. She is. Well, first of all, the clothes. I already mentioned that.
Right, and the hair. We said,
yes, 100%. She is unfiltered, unafraid. I love that. I mean, I wish I could be more like her in that sense. But just unafraid, unfiltered. She challenges everybody. That's what I love about her.
Right. Are you ready for your world to change now? People are going to see you at the grocery store and go, oh my gosh, it's
really?
You.
You think they're going to recognize me? But you didn't even, I mean, look at this pony with the round hair.
I mean, you'll have a good, a couple crazy months right after it airs while people are binging.
Yeah, they'll know
see,
you.
See, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Take your abuela.
I hope they love her as
you.
Much as I loved playing her.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to say. How about you, Jackie?
I love Melrose's sense of humor. I love that she really just wants to have a good time. And I think in season one, her wanting to have a good time was a little forced and sort of covering up how insecure she really was. And I think in season two, she's really, I mean, she's still a little angry, but she really does just want the best for her friends and want to be the life of the party and basically wants to throw the party. I think it's a lot of people want
party
to be,
host.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to be the life of the party, but she's like, let's get this together. Let's like get as much joy out of this life as possible. And I think I could learn a thing or two from the little gal.
Last question. What was the hardest wrestling move that you had to learn? Was there one that
I think suplexes are the hardest for me. I mean, I could do them now, which is cool, but I would always like one leg would always land first and I would always have to land flat back. But in your brain, you don't want to like take that bump. You're like, you're like bracing. And then the more I just go, Jackie, take the bump. If you land flat on your back and bang your arms down, but with a suplex, you can't because your arms are where, like, so if you're landing in a body, if someone's body slamming you, I can land and I can do a full flat back, arms down, thighs down, like just really hit the mat. But if I'm in a suplex, I'm just like, my back is going to take all this. I'm scared. So I end up either getting out of it too early or having a leg land and hit the ground because I'm
did
like
you ever
afraid.
Heal yourself? That's when you hit heel first. That's one of the worst things you could do. Heal yourself.
Oh, no.
So beware of healing yourself. Yeah, don't do that. Don't think about that.
But yeah, so suplexes were hard for me. I mean, schoolboys were, but no, I got those. No, it was suplexes.
Suplex, yeah. How about you?
Body slams,
what?
I just love.
You would know more than me. What's that?
Describe it.
The person like is like this.
You might be talking about a suplex because I already saw what your arms were going to do. You lift them.
Oh, yeah.
She falls forward and I fall on my back.
Like a like
what
a northern
is that?
Northern
what's that move?
Like a northern light suplex type of thing.
But what's I go like this to her.
Yeah, it's a suplex. Okay. It, she lands on her back and you land on your back. You can hold her in a bridge. What's that?
She wouldn't lift me by my waist in a suplex.
There's different types of suplexes.
Oh.
Yeah, that could be a belly to belly suplex.
Wowee,
belly to belly.
Or it could be a northern light suplex.
I forget the name. I wish Chavo was here,
but I don't think that was the hardest.
I know
I've
as
ever
much
done.
As Chavo does.
No, but to tell
sorry,
us,
Chris, did you offend you?
No, not that you don't know as much, but I don't because I don't think either of those were ones like those names
that
didn't resonate.
Fit. Okay,
yeah. So I was like, you're talking about.
We'll have to get a couple action figures you can show me later on with the dolls.
Shakira, show me the doll.
Yeah,
that's
show me.
Sorry,
show me the doll where the suplex touched you. Guys, we're excited. Glow season two. Is it inappropriate? Yeah. We'll edit it out. It's fine. Is it more inappropriate than somebody giving themselves a miscarriage with ketchup?
That was for sure the most inappropriate.
So there you go. So we're talking about Glow, and it's going to be very appropriate. Great segue. To watch season two.
June 29th.
I also would like to let everybody know that I have some music coming out.
Wow.
I'm putting out an album called Power Fox.
Woo! Nice.
In accordance with Glow. So search Jackie Tone on Spotify.
Power Fox.
Yes, Power
Fox. I like that.
And follow me on Instagram at Jackie Tone.
If you put two X's on it, it sounds like a great name for an 80s metal band. Power Fox.
Power Fox.
Ah! Also, tell people how to spell Tone. They might do it.
Oh,
the other
way. Jackie Tone. T-O-H-N.
Yeah.
Mine is at Shakira Barrera.
We'll add all that
like
stuff
that's
in post.
That's so easy to spell.
But you know what? Maybe if I say it in Spanish, I'll get it Barrera.
Oh, okay. That's with three R's then. Barrera. We'll add all of it in post. We'll be fine. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thanks to Jackie and Shakira. And remember, Glow Season 2 is on Netflix right now. I know I'll be binge watching it this weekend. And if it's more wrestling that you're after, then book your cabin aboard Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea when we set sail October 27th. Book now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And remember, once you do, everything is all inclusive in the price. All the live podcasts featuring Killing the Town, Keeping It 100, Beyond the Darkness, Busted Open Radio, Unprofessional Wrestling, all the stand-up comedians, Sal and Q from Impractical Jokers, Brad Williams, Ron Funches, Craig Gass, all the rock and roll shows, Corey Taylor, Fozzy, King, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, Shoot to Thrill, Blizzard of Ozzy, the Dave Spivak Project, and all of the wrestling matches, all the autograph signings, all the meet and greets, and the Sea of Honor tournament is all included in your price when you book your cabin now, including
these matches, the first round of the Sea of Honor tournament, Jay Lethal versus BJ Whitmer, Chris Daniels versus Delirious, Marty Scurll versus Rhett Titus, Silas Young versus Flip Gordon, Mark Briscoe versus Will Ferrara, Adam Page versus Kazarian, Chiberga versus the Beer City Bruiser, Jay Briscoe versus Kenny King, plus we got Ring of Honor versus Impact, we got the Alpha Club, the Bucks of Jericho, Chris Jericho will be teaming with the Young Bucks on board this cruise ship. I'm telling you right now, I'm not holding it anymore. Watch Being the Elite next week as we start telling the story about how the Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2 Jackson, will be performing on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler hosting, SoCal Val's special cruise director, Mick Foley, Noel Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be doing a live talk as Jericho with me on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Rey Mysterio is going to be there. So many great, great, great performers, legends. Brian Cage, Melissa Santos, Mandy Leon is going to be there, the Women of Honor. Do not miss this. Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Adam Page, you name it. If they work with Ring of Honor, they are going to be on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. So go book your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. There are still cabins available. We are getting closer to a sellout, but this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime celebration, a once-in-a-lifetime vacation. I was just having a meeting in Atlanta last week talking about the gifts that we're going to give out. They wanted to give one type of gift. I said, no, it has to be this because it's got to be a memorable Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea that we're going to be doing for years and years and years to come. If I get my way, and as you know, I always get my way. So go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Do not miss out. Don't be that nerd that didn't go because you're too cool for school or you didn't want to save up an extra couple $100. Go do it now, ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And coming up on Wednesday, we lost a good brother this week. One of my favorite people on the planet, Vinnie Paul from Hell Yeah and Pantera. If you've been on social media, you see everything that's happening. I'm going to his memorial service on Sunday. I can't make the funeral on Saturday, but I will talk to you more about what happens at the service, what happens at the memorial. And this Wednesday, we're going to do a Vinnie Paul tribute show, remembering Vinnie Paul with Charlie Benanti from Anthrax. He's been on Talk Is Jericho many times. Chris Adler from Lamb of God. We're going to sit down as three dudes just shooting the breeze about our fallen brother, Vinnie Paul. It's going to be a deep show, an emotional show, but it's going to be a can't-miss show this Wednesday, remembering Vinnie Paul right here on Talk Is Jericho. 1-2 Barbecue! That's what I'm going to call the show. 1-2 Barbecue, remembering Vinnie Paul on Talk Is Jericho. So have a great weekend. Be safe. We'll see you very, very soon. In the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy! And go watch season 2 of Glow on Netflix right now. I'm going to go press play the moment I press stop on this button, which is now. It's a garbage game!